appreciate when you keep singing and sing louder. That's great. Keep singing. I've had several questions in the last several sermons. And I think they are important questions, and I also believe they are questions that either many people ask or many people wonder before becoming a Christian, maybe after they become a Christian. Now, I missed a few this morning, so I added them this afternoon. Why are things repeated in the Bible is a question. I have a lesson again and again. Are you ready? What motivation is there in moving? What good does it do was a question I asked last Wednesday morning. And what does God hear? Make no mistake, God turns a blind eye or a deaf ear to those who are belligerent, hateful, spiteful toward the Lord. He does listen or take note of those who are wanting to seek him. I think Cornelius is an excellent example. The Philippian jailer is another. Saul, the Apostle Paul, is a third, just to name a few. Why don't people listen to the truth was this morning and now? What do you see in the mirror? This is not meant to be, or was not meant to be, a recap of several lessons. But I must admit that this lesson, which I taught several years ago, has several points that I've already made. If it's from the Bible, we need to keep reminding ourselves of these. I would tell my students sometimes, If you get tired of conjugating this verb, if you get tired of memorizing these points or the main parts of the Constitution, remember that your teachers, not just me, your teachers have modeled these many times for many, many years. Repetition can be a very good teacher or reminder. Why do we remind ourselves? Why do we remind ourselves of the good and the evil that is described, delineated in the Bible? Let us then choose the good over the evil and be able to remind others in turn what that is. So what do you see in the mirror? You want to hear a few things that I've said before, to be sure. These are questions we ask ourselves. Number one, there is a perfect law. There's a perfect law of liberty. And in James 1:25, I've said this before, the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. I used this morning. Now, as I was going through my lessons, I was not thinking about the connection between two older lessons. Okay. Number one, looking intently. To have an intent, to have a desire, to have a reason why, a mission. Why am I looking into that? I'm not just glancing through and skimming through notes, flipping pages, and I have my Bible that I keep here. And intently is with an intent, with a desire, with a reason. So when we study, I encourage you, when you study anything, especially the Word of God, have a reason. I desire, as a brother has just prayed, I desire to know more. I desire to glean from that. I don't know if you've ever seen the painting. And I don't know if it was a French movie called Millet, it was like Millet, okay? And the Gleaners. And there's a woman leaning over, and it looks like a wheat field, I believe. And as someone gleaning is trying to pick or pull every bit, every morsel, every grain or every stalk out of that. And it's an interesting depiction of the concept of gleaning. I didn't have that word growing up. I didn't know what gleaning meant. To pick over, we might have said. To pick through or pick over. To pick for every morsel. So if we start intently and we want to pick through and glean from the Lord's word, those tasty morsels, those good wholesome pieces, those nuggets of goodness that we can get. That's one. Second, perfect law equals the law of liberty. The old law was imperfect, meaning incomplete. It was unable to save us from sin. So the perfect law, when we come into the New Testament times, the time of Jesus Christ, after his death and his burial, resurrection, ascension, and sitting on the throne at the right hand of God, we have a law of liberty, a law of freedom. The old law told us what sin was, but could not take it away. The new law, the law of Christ, tells us the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Third, abide. To abide means to live. I think of making one's abode somewhere. If you make your abode somewhere, you are living in that place. You are abiding. Another way of looking at it is, you know, the old expression, I can't abide that. I can't tolerate it, or I can't put up with it. I can't accept that. I can't abide it. I don't know. I can't abide that. So if we think about it, I can't make peace with or make my abode with something that is morally wrong, that is immoral. I can't abide that. So it clarifies what abide means. Next, a forgetful hearer. So as I pointed out this morning, we need to realize and tell other people. They say, well, I've heard and I believe. Well, there are people that hear and believe, but then they forget. That's a problem. You're not going to win friends and influence people. Yes, that's Carnegie. You can't get to a point where you win the test or pass the exam, pass the bar, when you're a forgetful hearer. So there is a law. We are under a law, not the old law. It's the law of Christ. It is a perfect law of liberty. We need to live in it, be in it, commit to it, and not be forgetful about it. But tells us that it's, I'm going to picking apart this expression in this one verse, but says there's something to be contrasted. This, however, but, even so, this is a point. Instead of being a forgetful hero, we need to be an effectual doer. I love this. Because you have a hearer and you have a doer. Isn't that true? Did you not? I'm sorry, I looked at Julie. Yeah, you have children. What did I tell you to do? What did I tell you? What did I say? You know, we probably told husbands and wives and children. I see about everybody smiling. Hearing and believing and forgetting or not doing is not enough. We cannot earn our salvation. However, but we need to be the factual doers. And then the blessing. This man, this woman, this person, this man will be blessed in what he does. This one will be blessed in what he or she does. Would you like to change that? I know this can be a little small. I did it to squeeze everything in to the summary page. This is the summary page. There is a perfect law, remember and do, and be blessed. As in a mirror, there are a few scriptures then to take a look at. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians 13 and 12 and 3:18. For now we see as I now we see I'm thinking King James. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. This is called, or nicknamed, the love chapter. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, keeps no record of wrong, and on. It describes what love is, what it is not. Then we are pointed, it is pointed out to us by Paul in this letter. We see dimly, and then face to face, through a mirror, through a glass darkly, I believe the King James reads. We see as through a glass darkly. It may be a mystery, or it may be not all revealed to us. We don't understand all things perfectly and completely. But then we will see him face to face. We are fully known. I want us to get this. Just as I also have been fully known. Have been. That means the past until now. I have been. Not just right now, but in the past up to now. To this very moment. Heaven knows. God knows. Fully. In that day, we will understand it all by and by, as the answer. 2 Corinthians 2, or I'm sorry, 3:18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory. Just as the Lord, the Spirit. Imagine if you could, for a moment, that you're looking into a mirror. It's interesting that the word is vanity, that box that sits under. And I'm not trying to pick on you because I'm looking in your direction. Look at Martin for a moment. We have what's called a vanity, a cabinet that sits under it all. Maybe it's because we don't want to sit in front of the mirror too much to have a vain thing about ourselves. But this is talking about looking into a mirror and being transformed. So it's not only reflecting who we are, but it's drawing us in, like pulling, as well as kind of redrawing the figure. Of a face or a, it's maybe a little difficult for us to understand. But the scriptures, when we look intently, when we have an open heart and desire to understand, we are being transformed in that likeness. When we desire to be like the mirror, then it not only reflects who we are, but who we ought to be, and that's the bigger point, is it not? You see? That to which we should be transformed, or into which we should be changed. I ought to be more like that. I am not that. The word tells me I am missing. I am weak, or I, I've not been strong on this, or I missed the point, or I dropped the ball on that. But I keep looking intently, and it says, you can do this, brother, sister. You can do this. You should be this. You should not be that. And we then form and conform ourselves to that perfect law of liberty. So the mirror, the scriptures, tell you who we are and who we ought to be. And if we look intently into it, it will draw us in, redraw, and help us to conform to the Lord's will. God be praised and blessed for the power of his word. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror and forgets James 1:23. So when we look in the mirror, I'm not trying to ruin your mirror at home, but this can be a reminder to us all. This is what I see. This is what I want to be. What I see, what I want to be. Or, better yet, what the Lord wants me to be. And here's an even better part. The Lord does not look upon the countenance of the man, but the Lord looks upon the heart. And so what's being transformed is not that moment's removed. That spot's gone. I need to use some cream here. The Lord's word is helping us to transform and change for the good into that which we ought to be. The Lord looking upon the heart. Out of the heart, the overflow thereof, the mouth speaks. So as in a mirror, you will see him face to face. Everyone will see him face to face. How do we know that? If you believe the Bible, it says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. For Christians who are faithful unto death, that is a blessing. Now we see him face to face, and we get to say, I say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I've been saying it in front of people. To those who are shamefacedly saying it for the first time, or acknowledging it fully for the first time, or regretfully are saying, I dropped off the boat to my own demise, they will see him face to face also. What a sad day of reckoning. And dare I say, they'll be looking into the mirror. They will be, how can you say that? Are you just conjecturing? The Bible states that we will be judged by his words. There we go. So, let's get it right in the mirror right now. Don't forget what you see in the mirror. Don't be a forgetful seer. If you look into the mirror and it says, thou shalt not, no good. If it says, this is the good you ought to do, and if you don't do it, it's a sin, then make sure you do it. Okay? Reflect. Well, that's kind of like a mirror does. Reflects. Okay? What it sees, what it sees, so to speak. In Proverbs 27:19, as in water face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. This is one of the first lovely verses that I learned. I knew a few before becoming a Christian. I thought this was wonderful. The Lord looks upon my heart, and the heart of me is going to reflect who I am. So that mirror, to go back to it, is going to see, I'm going to be able to peer into who I am. We're not talking about some mystical, strange thing, but the Word of God is quick. It is a living, lively Word. It is quick. It's aiming to cut and drive asunder. Like, I like the image of a meat cleaver because it chops, and it'll chop the fat from the bone, or the bone away from the bone, two pieces of bone, the sinew in between. It is able to cut like a two-edged sword and drive asunder the good, the evil. God is so powerful. His word is powerful. It is mighty. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's power unto salvation, first to the Jew, and then to the Greek, the Gentile. So reflect, your heart will reflect who you are. Be pure in heart. Get yourself right. You ever heard that? Some people used to say a long time ago, I gotta get righteous. Now they didn't mean that gotta go and be converted and become a Christian. They were using it as a worldly expression. I gotta get things, I gotta set the record straight. I gotta make things right with my people, with my friends, or with my group. That's a worldly view. Here, we are talking about getting ourselves right with the Lord. That is truly getting righteous. That is a spiritual view. And do you know that it's not a one and done? It's not I shot the game-winning shot. It is until death. So if tonight is not my last night, tomorrow I need to fight a fight again. That's not a bad thing. For warriors, which is what we are, soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the faith which God supplies. Fortify the whole. So be a good soldier, a good warrior. Jesus was the leader of all. And that is, am I done with the battle tonight? It depends. Mark, glory, everything. It depends. Do you have a breath tomorrow? Fight on. Press on. I'm not talking about being belligerent and bellicose, but rather we need to stand strong and keep pressing on. Here are a couple. In Matthew 23 and 26, read with me. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, so that the outside of it may be clean also. This draws an image. You don't want to drink a clean cup of water from a dirty cup. Or if it's dirty, we might not mind if it's dirty on the outside, but they're talking about the inside. The heart, the soul, the mind being dirty. So we don't want to put pure water or something pure into a dirty vessel. It will become tainted. Another way of expressing this is, and I only learned it a couple of years ago, it's called poisoning the well. So if I go and I say something bad and backstabbing my sister, my brother, I poison the well, because the next person might come along and think, even though they don't know you personally, poisoning the well. A drop of poison can sometimes not only taint the water, but make it all bad. A few bad apples spoil the bunch. there's an expression, don't know if it's in the soap, I'm saying this tongue in cheek. I don't know if this is in the real world, but it's in the educational world, the school world, and it is this. 5% of the students make 95% of the problems. So I don't want that to be you. I don't want it to be Wayne either, or me. 5%, I don't think that's scripturally an accurate percentage, because it's the few that find that narrow gate. But we can say that there are times when there is just a small burr, a small grain of dirt or grit or sand in a sock or the shoe or a pebble or a thorn that's just driving in there. A tiny thing that is just driving into this thing and making things miserable. So, cut that out. Pick that. Okay, Joshua, and I've used this before, wonderful. When I was talking to a group of, it was actually Seventh-day Adventists, and when they saw this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One fellow said to me, what is that, like a phrase or something? Let me tell you what I thought. Okay, I'm among brothers and sisters. I can say this bluntly. I thought, how can you claim to be a Christian? And you're asking me if this is just a phrase? It's not just a catchphrase. This is Joshua. As for me, my house, you can serve the gods of your people or your fathers or these people. You can do these things for me and my house. We will serve God for you. Five words. Power. Godly power. In men's hearts and women's hearts. What a powerful statement that was. We gotta get ourselves right, we gotta serve the Lord, we gotta clean the inside of the cup, and that means you, you're the inside of the cup. It's you, your heart, your thinking. I was thinking, I don't know when it was, I was still in, I think, junior high school, but it's my neighbor, a very intelligent young man at the time, by the name of Pearson, is who it was. My parents gave me. And he told me about subliminal messaging. I mean, that's a big thing to talk to a junior high school about. Sublime. And he went on to tell or explain or express, you know, these are messages. It might have been flash up, eat more popcorn, or go get a drink, or you're thirsty. And it might have been for only a frame or a couple of frames in a film. And it's going by it, I don't know, 30, is that 33 33 frames per minute, or I don't know how many frames, but it is so quick, the mind perceives it. This is a fascinating thing. The capacity of the mind to perceive something that, in a blink of an eye, not even 1/60th of a second, maybe. Now, if the brain can't, and it was banned, it was alcohol, but I've got a question for you. If it's overt, okay, we'll stop covering it up. We'll put it right in your face. We'll just push it out there. We'll show it over and over again. Every commercial, everything. If the mind perceives it even in a split second, imagine what listening to it on the radio or seeing it on the TV and over and over and over again. What can that do? Sisters and brothers, let us be careful what we see, what we yard against all things. But there is a lot of trash. You don't need to stick our head down in the trash can, right? Don't stick your head in the trash can. You're going to get sick spiritually. And finally, what's the exchange rate? This is not as important anymore in Europe. In Europe, it used to be you go from Luxembourg, and you got Luxembourg francs. And you go to France, you've got French francs. Not the same. 30 of these is 5 or whatever it means, something like that. There are 25 Luxembourg francs to 5 or 6 French francs. And you go across the border, swing back around, go to Germany, you've got an exchange rate. And the exchange rate of a dollar was maybe, at one point, you could buy many Deutschmark, German marks. And now it's the other way around, you know, the German mark against the dollar. And it's kind of hard. You're buying money, you're buying dollars, everybody. Now it's euros all over. So you can use one common currency throughout many of those nations. When you go to travel, you start to think about the exchange rate. How many of those pieces, or how many of those silver pieces, or gold pieces, or euros, how many of those pesos can I buy with my dollar? Now, we do this with money in our pocket. And there's even an expression in German and Luxembourg to call it pocket money. We say it sometimes too. Pocket money. Should we not have a stronger desire to understand the exchange rate then of our souls? What's it going to cost me? And I would dare say that many people think of what they're going to have to give up or quit or the thou shalt not or the hardship or the difficulty or I'm going to have rather than what they get in return. So, to finish up, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It's repeated or mirrored Matthew 16 and 26 or Mark 8:36. So we have a perfect law. We are to look into it as into a mirror. It's going to not only reflect, but if we look intently, it's going to transform us into that likeness. We need to get ourselves right. We need to count the cost. So tonight, let us consider these things. Consider your ways. You have so much but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I am not indicting you. I am not judging you, sisters and brothers. But we ought to walk circumspectly. Looking around. That's what that means. Looking around. We ought to be careful. Consider ourselves to be dead to sin, alive in Christ. Consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many lives according to the flesh, not many like you, not many noble. So we are to consider ourselves, if we are in Christ, which almost every one of us is, we are dead to sin, alive in Christ, and our ways and our calling are to be considered seriously. What will you see in the mirror, and what will your answer be? Jesus came and said, all authority has been given to me. Baptizing them. If you have need of being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins or to come forward to confess, won't you do that on these days? Almost persuade them.